The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Picking somebody featured on virtually every do not draft list? Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter finds people with the right skills and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus.
It's my Friday, and I'm not bragging about it. Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, Field Yates. Matthew Berry, star Fonya Bell here. It is Wednesday, but we're going to treat it like a Friday because
yeah,
it's our final podcast of the week. Matthew is headed to his house for Thanksgiving.
His estate.
I'm heading to Boston, and Stefania is heading to the West Coast.
That's right.
Everybody's fired up about that. The best coast, some might say.
Where, it's going to be 16 degrees here, but it won't be 16 degrees
the
there.
The wind chill will be -2 in Boston,
yeah,
Stefania.
You know
please
what?
Don't short us any degrees here. Or I guess in that case, you'd be overselling us
That's
degrees.
That's right.
It's going to be a perfect day to be outside hooking a turkey for like six hours, huh?
Awesome.
There you go.
Favorite Thanksgiving side. Do you have a preferred Thanksgiving side, Matthew, or are you an equal opportunity side consumer?
Stuffing. I'm a stuffing guy.
Stuffing, yeah. Good call. Stefania?
Mine is the cranberry, the real cranberry, the cranberry with the berries, the cranberry.
The bitter cranberries?
How is it you're wrong on this, too? Like, what? Come on. Put up a Twitter poll. Twitter poll right now.
No,
stuffing versus cranberries.
Look it.
Also, neither one of those are correct. Mashed potatoes and gravy
is the side.
That doesn't count.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mashed potatoes and gravy is for everything. Like,
right.
That's
you can have that.
It's a side. You don't get it as a standalone meal.
It has to be something that you have special on Thanksgiving.
Yes, Stefania understands.
Oh, wait a minute ago.
Quite the turn.
No, she got the answer wrong, but she understood the question. You don't even understand the question.
Mashed potatoes and gravy are a staple side for Thanksgiving.
For every meal ever.
That is... Okay, fine. Then my Aunt Lois's purple stuff.
Yeah,
that is the best
purple
Thanksgiving.
Stuff? Is that what you just said?
It's like a purpley.
Purple potato?
It's like a purpley dessert type of a thing. Ooh. I don't know. We just always call it the purple stuff.
Is it a dessert?
It's a dessert. It's a Thanksgiving Day dessert that she makes.
I watch a lot of Food Network, and I'm not familiar with this purple stuff you're referring to. But
that's
Aunt Lois sounds
Aunt
like
Lois.
You know what?
It's
because
I can tell you. I can tell you why. This because of all the shows you watch on Food Network. The one you don't watch is Worst Cooks in America.
That you've never heard of.
That was mean and unspirited, and I'm going to tell my Aunt Lois, and she's not going to like you very much.
Game preview.
I'm fine with that, by the way. By the way, it's been a mean show. You guys don't know, but like the whole pre-show meeting, Field, Stefania, and Daniel have been very mean to me.
I just want everyone to know.
Everyone's been very mean to me
normally
in the pre-show meeting.
Keith
is my only friend.
Because Keith is incapable
Keith
of being
Keith is hiding.
Unkind.
He's not your friend.
What?
He's shaking his head. No,
that's not
he's
true.
Just, he's not
for the record. We were having
Keith is everybody's friend.
Great meeting.
Keith is everybody's friend.
Yeah, Field.
Yeah, we were having
you
a great
and
meeting.
I were having a great meeting.
Let's begin with our Thursday games. We have
I'm not paid
three
enough. Secrets
will
make a note. I'm not paid enough to deal with these two.
That's debatable. Some would say otherwise. We have three games
on Thursday.
We begin with the Bears and the Lions in Detroit. One of the great Thanksgiving traditions is, of course, the Lions hosting a game, as do the Cowboys every Thanksgiving. And for the Bears, the starters, the players that you are starting in this game, well, it's a little bit more murky for the Bears because all of a sudden we have an injured player. Stefania, Mitch Trubisky has that shoulder issue that it took place on Sunday night late in that game against the Vikings, and all of a sudden he sounds murky for this game.
You're right, Field. And this is something where we didn't hear much about it. As you mentioned, it was late in the game. And with the quick turnaround, it's now becoming a real question mark as to whether he's going to play. The Bears did not actually hold a practice on Monday, so it's an estimation. But essentially, he is qualified as somebody who has not practiced for a couple of days. And it's hard to imagine if his shoulder is bothering him that much that he would be able to go on Thursday. The problem is you never have an idea of how serious these things are, but the short turnaround certainly can impact it. And it sounds like the Bears are legitimately wondering whether it will be Chase Daniels for under center for them.
So, Matthew, the reason why I said there are no obvious starters for the Bears is that if Mitch Trubisky sits, there's a dramatic impact on the rest of the offense. What's it mean? Let's start with the pass catchers.
I don't think we know. We haven't seen Chase Daniel this year. We haven't seen him in this offense. It would be pure speculation
to sit here and say, oh, well, you know, he loves Anthony Miller.
Right.
Or what, like, it is, you know, I'm just going to cop to it. I could BS you guys.
Right.
But we just don't know how good he is. We just haven't seen him in a game situation. I would, because I am conservative in nature,
yep.
You know, except in certain situations. My expectation is I would lower expectations. I don't think Chase Daniel is as good as Mitch Trubisky.
Fact.
I think that is right. I think that is.
Just talk to my sources. Confirmed.
There you go. All right. So let's start there.
Yep.
Right. And then you think about this as a team that's playing on a short week, obviously. And so how much reps is Chase Daniel going to get with these guys? How many first team reps is he going to get with these guys? Allen Robinson, you know, we expect him to be shadowed by Darius Slay. So I think they all become sort of risky plays. And to me, it would think like, does this become like kind of a Tariq Cohen, Jordan Howard game? And I put them in that order because I think they'll be able to, I think you'll see some dump off passes. Could be like more of a Trey Burton game. Honestly, I think what you would have to do is you would have to lower expectations for all pass catchers in Chicago. And they would all be sort of, it's a little bit of how lucky do you feel? And what else do you have?
Right. It's not like, let's just say, and this is the obvious example, but like when the Titans, we'll talk about them a little bit later on in the show and the possibility of not having Marcus Mariota. Well, Corey Davis still is the clear cut number one wide receiver in that offense. The Bears are such a spread it around offense that it's hard for us to say, yeah, Chase Daniel is in. He's got this established rapport with any player on that offense. We shall see. And just, you know, if you're one of those people that takes your leisurely time on Thursday morning, make sure you're keeping up with the news because this game begins at 12:30 on the East Coast. If you live on the West Coast and you have plans for Mitch Trubisky, you might need to set up an alarm.
Well, I mean, to me, that's the biggest thing is that you may need another quarterback.
Right.
So you may have like, you know, gone through like, hey, I got Trubisky. I've got like one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy right now. I'm good. And the answer is no, you're not. And so if Trubisky were, where would you rank Chase Daniel? I don't think I would rank Daniel. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he certainly could have a viable fantasy day, but I think there are enough other options where I have evidence that they are good players in their offense that I would say, I can turn to a Nick Mullins against Tampa Bay.
Right.
Or I can turn to a Baker Mayfield against Cincinnati. Or I can turn to a Lamar Jackson, who's still available in 2/3 of leagues, by the way, as we get ready to turn
Which
the page.
Crazy. Winston would be out there.
Yep.
Look, Eli, I think. Like,
plenty
you
of
know,
options.
You check our rankings. But, there's lots of guys on the waiver wire that we would prefer over Chase Daniel. And so I think you would lower the expectation of the entire offense if Trubisky were out.
When it comes to the Detroit Lions, the starting player on this offense that you are most confident in is, of course, Kenny Golladay, even though the Bears are very good. You still have to make room for Kenny Golladay in your lineup. He's a top 20 play for us on ESPN.com. But we don't expect to see two key other lines, Stefania, and Kerryon Johnson and also Marvin Jones.
Right. Neither one of them practicing. Kerryon Johnson could be a multiple week situation, but certainly not going to play this week. Marvin Jones, we've talked about that he was getting a second opinion, so neither of them going to play this Thursday.
All right, so don't expect to see either one of those players. If you're like super desperate, you want to throw a dart. Bruce Ellington had 6 catches this past weekend.
They did.
That would be a deeper league dart play, a dart throw. But for the Lions, really the pass catcher you are most confident in is, of course, Kenny Golladay. But it's the running backs that I think is going to cause a lot of confusion going into this game tomorrow, Matthew. Theo Riddick is the one we said, you know, top 30-ish play for us because of the pass catching value. And maybe even if it's 5 carries, it's still 5 carries, right? And we saw him 2 years ago, I believe it was, when Amir Abdullah was banged up. They did utilize Theo Riddick a bit more in the running game. But then it comes out of this, Matthew. I think people are going to probably say, like, can I turn to either a LeGarrette Blount or a Zach Center tomorrow? Would you feel so bold as to do so?
I think in a daily format, I think in a 16-team, I'm super desperate format, but otherwise, no. I mean, like, you know, listen, we don't know how they're going to treat goal line carries. I mean, that's what you're hoping for here. So if you're starting Zach Center or LeGarrette Blount, you're hoping they fall into the end zone here because obviously the Bears, the best run defense in the NFL since week 8. The lowest yards per carry. And they haven't, this is not a team that has run the ball effectively with the exception of Kerryon Johnson. I mean, what was the stat we gave yesterday? LeGarrette Blount has 21 carries for 16 yards.
Yards.
Good Lord. Like, he's not even falling forward.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, so this is just a brutal offense. And you think about Theo Riddick, who had 6 for 60 last time against the Bears. And also Kerryon Johnson not in this one. 17 catches for Kerryon Johnson over the last 4 games. So now all of a sudden those targets are available. We don't see them really throwing a lot to Zach Zenner or LeGarrette Blount out of the backfield. I honestly think that's going to be their run game, especially against Chicago, especially when you think about how much pressure the Bears are able to create. So, I actually like Theoretic quite a bit as a flex play this week. I like him in a daily format as well. I don't think he's particularly expensive on most of the sites. So just something to think about there with Theoretic, because
someone's got to carry the ball and play running back for the Lions on Thursday. Let's pick this game, 4.5-point spread in favor of the Bears. I don't care if it's Trubisky or Chase Daniel. Give me the Lions. One pride, baby. Daniel.
One pride.
Looking
that's right.
Sharp over there in your Lions.
I mean, I
guard.
Just got to say they won last week against Carolina when I asked them to win and they came through, and I'm going to do the same thing again this week. So
no pressure. Oof. No pressure. Stefania, who are you taking?
How good of friends are we, Stefania?
We're really good friends. It scares me without Trubisky, you know? And the Bears defense is so, so good, and the Lions are without Johnson and Marvin Jones, but it's the Lions on Thanksgiving at home, and so
I'm wearing this really cool Lions hat.
Yeah. Because we're playing against the spread, I think the Bears win, they eke it out, so I'm gonna go with the Lions.
Matthew.
I am taking the Lions as well because I'm expecting Trubisky not to play here. So I'll take the Lions covering with 4.5. I think I'm with Stefania here. I think the Bears win, but I don't think they win by 5 points.
Before we move on, really quickly, I just want to give a shout out to Nick Langley, who was in our Pigskin Pick'em League.
Okay.
Week 8 went 14 for 14 against the spread in our league.
Wow. Yeah, wow.
Phenomenal. Week 11. Went 0-13 against the spread.
That is amazing.
Same season, two different weeks, 14-14 and 0-13. So I just wanted to give Nick a shout out because that's a pretty incredible
impressive.
Thing to
I
be
mean,
able
it's hard to do both
either
ways.
One of those.
Yep.
You are consistently inconsistent, our buddy Nick. Let's go to the Redskins and the Cowboys.
And by the way, just real quickly, there you go, first one of the season. of the show, I should say.
Of the show.
None of us are starting Matthew Stafford.
Like Reds,
well outside of our ranks.
Redskins at Cowboys. For the Redskins, again, it's hard to say there are too many players you're starting with confidence. That list would be led, though, by Adrian Peterson and perhaps Jordan Reed. Do we think that Jordan Reed, Matthew, you seem to think that there might be some uptick in volume overall for Jordan Reed with Alex Smith no longer as the starter and Colt McCoy as a starter for the foreseeable future?
2014, Colt McCoy got some starts, and in those games, again, it's all small sample size, and it's a number of years ago, but still, over 8 targets a game, over 6 catches a game, over 62 receiving yards per game. We saw, you know, he caught the touchdown pass from Colt McCoy here. Look, there's a familiarity there, and there are some people within the Redskins universe, if you will, that believe the offense will actually function better, at least in the short term, under Colt McCoy than it was under Alex Smith. Because, look, and they were very candid about this, that there was still a learning curve for Alex Smith and that the offense wasn't really running on all cylinders. And I don't think anyone is saying that Colt McCoy is as good as Alex Smith. But in terms of knowledge of the offense and being comfortable in the offense, I think there's a real confidence around the Redskins and the Redskins team about Colt McCoy being able to run this offense. And obviously, Jordan Reed, there's a familiarity there. So going against a Cowboys team that has been inconsistent against tight ends, they've been pretty good, but there have been a couple games where they haven't been here. Yeah, I think they're going to have to throw the ball to move it. So if I'm starting a Redskins pass catcher, give me some Jordan Reed. He made my love list, which I have him projected for over 10 points. I'm as a top 5 play.
As do
Dallas.
I this week. Jordan Reed seemed to find a little bit of mojo last week, and we hope that maybe the familiarity that you just alluded to between him and Colt McCoy leads to more good things on Thursday.
Yeah, hopefully we get Trent Williams back. I know that there's talk about potentially Trent Williams being able to play in this one, and that certainly would help Adrian Peterson. We all have him as a, you know, borderline top 20 play. You're probably starting Adrian Peterson and you're hoping for a touchdown here. And one last name I just want to throw out very quickly, which is Trey Quinn. Just somebody, you're not starting him. You're not even picking him up, but just, he's the slot receiver for the Redskins. He's the rookie out of SMU. They like him a lot. And so in like deeper PPR leagues, just keep an eye on Trey Quinn because that is somebody that I know the Redskins are very, very high on. And it would not be surprising if Jameson Crowder moves on after this season. He's a free agent and Trey Quinn is your starting slot receiver for the Redskins next year.
For the Cowboys, you're starting Ezekiel Elliott because he's awesome. And you're probably starting Amari Cooper as well. We've got him as a borderline top 20 play at wide receiver. Redskins, since made week the four, this week, are allowing the second most wide receiver points per game at 43. I think the only question here would be, we just mentioned the possibility of no Mitch Trubisky. Do either of you have any confidence in Dak Prescott as a week 12 streaming option after, you know, yet another satisfactory game this past weekend? Not a great game against Atlanta, but satisfactory.
I'm ranked 19th.
Yeah.
So he's a borderline QB2. I think this is a low scoring game. The over under in this one is not particularly high. I want to say it's 44, something like that.
I think
that.
It's even less. I think it'll be 40.
40. Oh my god. Yeah, 40.5. Wow.
Yeah, so low over under.
So
yep.
Very low under. I think it's a low scoring game here. I think it's two pretty good defenses. And two offenses that have struggled with a slow pace of play. Certainly with Colt McCoy, that's my expectation as well. Yep. On a short week. I think Dak is a low-end QB2 this week.
So this game's 40.5 over-under, and the Cowboys favored by 7.5. That's a big number on a low over-under total. I think the Redskins cover on Thursday. Matthew, how about you?
I do, too. 7.5 is like, that's a big one here. To the point, by the way, Washington 22nd in pace of play, Cowboys 26th in pace of play. So both of these teams among the slowest in the NFL. I'll take the Redskins in this one. Hail the Redskins. I think they cover, at least.
Fanya?
I think Dallas plays well at home on Thanksgiving. I'm going to take the Cowboys.
All righty. How about that? Daniel, what? Who do you got?
I think the same thing as Stefania. I think Zeke comes out and feasts.
All right. There you go. Zeke feasts and the Cowboys roll, according to Daniel. Let's go to the Falcons and the Saints Thursday night game. This is the point of the day where you're probably on your third plate of food and your second nap of the day. This one features a little bit more scoring. The starters for the Falcons, you know the names, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. This week, though, Matthew, you've got a little bit of caution over Tevin Coleman because the Saints run defense is the real deal.
Yeah, he came in outside my top 20. He made the hate list, which means I think he falls under his projection of 14.2 fantasy points. Okay. Keep in mind that only the Bears allow fewer yards per carry to opposing running backs than the Saints this season. They're top five in the NFL in both running back yards before and after contact per carry this season. And so you think about the Falcons here. I think Tevin Coleman has gotten over 14.2 points. Like, he's met that projection, I think, twice in the last eight games. So that's a big number for Coleman to get to. You've still got Ito Smith hanging around there. And so Coleman, who is averaging just 10 carries a game since Devontae Freeman last played. I know he's involved in the passing game. That's what you're hoping for. You're hoping for a big play here. But, look, it is a high-scoring game, and so could he catch a pass and take it to the house? 100%. You know, that's what you're sort of hanging your hat on here, because I do think the Saints' run defense is pretty good.
So Calvin Ridley, we don't know exactly what this means.
I think he's a flex, basically. But I'm taking the under on 14.2.
Calvin Ridley, Stefania, the short week makes it really difficult. Do we have any sense on whether he'll play on Thursday?
Not really. You look at Atlanta has done a good job of resting guys who are banged up during the week. So right now he's been listed as limited. The good part is he's not listed as a non-participant in practice. A thigh injury often means hamstring, but no, they haven't offered much in the way of specifics. They did a walkthrough on Monday. He hasn't missed a game yet this season. So I'm feeling like chances are probably in his favor that he ends up going on Thursday night. But again, let's see how they rate him coming out of today's practice.
You know, before the show, Daniel asked me, hey, you know, if you got him inside your top 30, others have him outside of your top 40. Is there a reason why? And my reason why is this. It's two things. First of all, we expect Atlanta to be able to or have to throw the football, and you True. Can certainly throw it against this New Orleans defense. But moreover, you get past a point in the wide receiver rankings, and discernible differences are hard to come by, right? I mean, guys like Calvin Ridley are going to be in the same territory as Tyler Lockett, touchdown dependent. Willie yeah. Snead, playing with Lamar Jackson now, where they threw it 19 times last week. Heck, Michael Crabtree or John Brown, all those players. Like, at some point, the bottom kind of falls out from your wide receiver ranking. So why I have confidence in a player like Calvin Ridley is he's been the most touchdown prolific player amongst those guys in my group. So maybe he finds the end zone on Thursday as a treat to all those who enjoy purple stuff from Aunt Lois and yeah. stuffing and mashed potatoes
I think
and gravy.
That's where I used to feel about him, but I've been frustrated by the lack of targets to him in the last few weeks and only one touchdown in like the last, five or six games.
Right. My thing is that like there's so many mitigating factors for all these players. Like we're talking about basically the same level of guys.
I know. But people wonder why we're different, even though we're all sort of like, it's a roll of the dice. I went lower this week because I'm like three catches each of the last 2 weeks. It hasn't been great.
Under 50 receiving yards in five of his last six.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I mean, he is really touchdown dependent. And I think to your point, Field, that if you're throwing out a touchdown dependent wide receiver, why not one that's in one of the highest scoring games of the week? And so I get it. It's just, I'm with Stefania here. Target share continues to decrease. Mo Sanu continues to increase. And by the way, you can't keep Julio Jones out of the end zone. Everyone knows
all he does is score touchdowns. The Saints make life really easy on us. Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, and Mike Thomas. I suggest, now Matthew wanted to debate me on this, but I suggest you start each of those players. That's just my gut feeling for them going to this weekend.
You're not the best analyst in the business for nothing.
Well, I would say I'm the very best. And Tre'Quan Smith, though, we might feel confident in starting him, but Stefania, we don't know if he's even going to play.
I know. And here's a guy who was listed as a non-participant in practice for two consecutive days. They did, because yesterday.
Is downgrading bad? It sounds bad.
It's bad. It's worse than upgrading, for example.
There you
go.
Princeton education coming in.
The media folks thought that he was there to participate. And then when the report came out, he actually did not participate in practice. They actually didn't have a practice on Monday. Wow. So when they projected him as a did not participate, everybody's like, okay, yeah. But then Tuesday, they actually do practice. He doesn't go. So I think everybody's a little bit more wary. That being said, the fact that he was there, that they had thought he had a chance to go, everybody's reserving judgment until they see what happens today. So keep an eye on today.
By the way, that's a good rule of life. Reserve judgment until you see what happens today.
Falcons are 13.5-point underdogs.
I detect sarcasm.
Do you?
That's a big number.
I agree with you. 13 is
a
big.
Still, I think the Saints get it.
The Saints.
Yeah, I know.
I have a bad feeling about it.
That's what all the squares do, Field. All the squares are on the Saints.
The squares.
Yeah, yeah. I'm taking the Falcons to cover. Okay. 14, two touchdowns is a big number
too,
for a division of game.
It's the number that scares me.
You know what, though?
Falcons.
They watched the Saints watch the Chiefs and Rams on Monday night, and they're
like, we can do that.
Well, these two teams, Super Bowl rematch. I want to see it already. And the Saints are like, about to sip some tea and show you guys how it's done.
I mean,
but the Saints did that last week. Like, they scored a ton last week.
They blew.
So I feel like they kind of used that.
Listen, against the Eagles and the Bengals, they blew the roof off the doors.
They did.
Can they do it again?
Can
lightning strike twice within 5 days, 4 days? I'm not sure.
I'm going to take the Dirty Birds in this one. 14 is just too much.
Yeah.
13 and a half is just too much.
Okay, so I'm the lone person on Saints Island on Thanksgiving. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everybody, not just the wealthy. There's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence, and it's simple and intuitive. There's a clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge for commission fees. You keep all of your profits. It's easy to understand charts and market data, place a trade in just four taps on your smartphone. Robinhood's web platform also lets you view stock collections and analyst ratings of buy, hold, or sell for every stock. Learn how to invest as you build up your portfolio and discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds. Sounds good. Make a lot of money and keep a lot of money. Plus, you can set up custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at focus.robinhood.com. That's focus.robinhood.com. Get rich, stay rich. That's the way to live right there. Continue on with our games here. The Battle of Ohio.
You know what? Before we get to the Battle of Ohio, let's get to a much more important battle here, Field Yates. Boston College, Syracuse. I'm a Syracuse graduate, as you know.
Yes.
What?
I am indeed. And so, and you're a big fan of Boston College.
Right.
You didn't
Marin
go there.
And Eagle. Wait. Weeks.
Wait, I sense what's about to happen.
No, Chapin went to Boston College,
Chapin went to Boston College, that's
right,
correct.
So you're marrying into the family.
There. Marrying into the family. Go to almost every BC home game. Love to tailgate there with my buddies. Always a fun time. And the wonderful Boston College football program hosts
the Syracuse Orange.
Somewhat mighty orange, but not really that orange. Not mighty orange.
Top 20, baby.
On
but
Saturday
we got 3 points on Notre Dame.
At noon, all right? Alumni Stadium in Chestnut Hill.
see if I can find the, see what the line is here.
The line is, seven, it's,
seven.
BC's
Boston,
a seven.
Wait, Boston BC. College is a 7-point favorite over Syracuse?
Yeah. Me, baby. Let's go.
Wow.
Let's go. AJ Dillon, you cannot stop this guy. So I think what you're trying to say.
I was going to say, let's see. I want to bet this game with you.
Wait.
But I want to do it with a line. That's what I always do.
Boy.
That's when you wanted to bet Miami. Hey, I said I was happy to bet with you. I just wanted the line.
If you think Syracuse is so good, if you're so surprised that BC's got 7 points in their favor,
we're good. Just do it straight up.
I don't know. What's the problem?
What is inconsistent about me saying? First off,
everything is inconsistent about you, but go, right. Keep going with the
like
question.
Like you listened in the pre-show meeting today to know that we were mocking you.
No.
That was inconsistent.
Yeah, but no, I've always said bet with a line. I wanted to bet with a line with Stefania. I'll bet with a line now.
That part is
I
accurate.
I am going to bet the line.
That part
as well.
Is accurate.
Now, what we
there you go. There you go. Perfect
wager,
bet.
Right?
Right. So. There you go. See, Stefania, that's how it's done. Oh, Vegas has set the line. I'll take this. And when you and I did the 49ers, Redskins, I gave you the line and paid up that bet.
My question is this. I will take BC to win this game and cover. 7 points is the line. Confident in that.
Okay.
What do you get? What do we each get if we win?
What do you want to do? Name your bet, brother.
I was thinking like, I was trying to think like, if BC loses, do I treat you to like, is it dinosaur buffalo wings up there in Syracuse everybody loves? Dinosaur barbecue?
Dinosaur barbecue up there. You know, they have great wings. I was going to say, like, I don't know when you're going to be able to get up there to, I don't know that barbecue travels particularly well.
Well, like, I'm sure they, like, if you're a big establishment like that, you could potentially free something and send.
Well, I was like going to say, either, like, you need, either we could, you and I could, like, buy a meal. Like, a lunch or a dinner.
Oh, God,
we just would pay for
not
it.
Not interesting
or,
for anyone.
No. Got an idea here. Syracuse wins. I have to start Donovan McNabb next week in my fantasy lineup.
Why don't we just do this? Loser has
Matthew's
to wear the. I'll wear a Boston College sweatshirt. If you guys win, I will wear it on air on Monday. And otherwise, you'll wear a Syracuse.
Oh, you guys are nuts. Going crazy
Let's
with the wager.
Right?
Woo,
okay.
I'm going to wear a sweatshirt.
You want to do it on.
You guys, this is the worst bet ever.
Whatever.
We'll figure it out. We're going to do a bet. But
so
you and I.
Let's go Eagles. Browns.
Come on,
and Bengals. This game is being played
Who's
in Cincinnati.
With me?
Oh, I did not know this.
So bored.
Chapin
by
scored
that
the
wager.
Game-winning goal against Syracuse as a senior. I did not know that.
Yeah, I just dug that one right out of the archives.
Yeah, good job.
I
wow.
Didn't know that one
September 20th. To open the ACC season.
How about that? Browns and Bengals. 47.5 points is the over-under. For the Browns, who are starting two players, Nick Chubb and Jarvis Landry. In terms of players that are injured, it's a pretty clean sheet. That's a good thing when you're coming out of your bye. But Duke Johnson, he has two straight games of being really involved in this passing game. Matthew, you confident it can sustain for the third straight game against Cincinnati?
Yeah, I like him. Look, at least four catches in four of his past five games. Bengals allow the eighth most running back receiving yards per game. So that's somewhere where they've had success. I think the only concern here is just the scoring, right? Like, you know, Nick Chubb has gotten so much opportunity here. What are the odds that Duke Johnson gets a touchdown in this game?
Right.
And so that's the only concern. That's the why he's in flex consideration versus top 20.
Yep.
But yes, I do like Duke Johnson in this game.
Yeah, with you as well as there. My concern is he has not been at all carrying the football. We'll see. But, you know, if they want to score points, there are certainly a lot of ways to attack Cincinnati, and keeping Duke Johnson involved is a good thing. David Njoku cracks your top 10, Matthew. I don't want to belabor too many tight end points because it is the most fickle position in fantasy football by far. For the Bengals, though, Joe Mixon is a starter because he showed last week that he is capable of playing a full game and also being productive. The Browns don't seem to they struggle to defend the run. But A.J. Green is really the talking point here, Stefania, because it seems possible he could play. Not a guarantee, but he certainly could play on Sunday.
He certainly could. Josie and Anderson report on Sunday that after he had his follow-up visit with Dr. Bob Anderson, the foot and ankle specialist who's followed him for this condition both when he first had it in 2014 and now, they had a good meeting, and as long as there were no setbacks, he could play. People may have heard that he was doing some pregame warmups. That's why the team listed him as doubtful, not out, last week. There was like a little, I think there was more a sign of his progress that he was out there warming up. Here's the thing. If you go back to 2014, you may remember this. The first game that he came back after having the turf toe injury, he came and he played for like a series, and then he was out because it aggravated his toe. And that's just the way these injuries are. Not saying that's going to happen now. Saying you don't know until you're in it. So if we tell you that he's playing or he is quote, healthy enough to be able to take the field Sunday. That doesn't mean this injury is necessarily behind him. It doesn't mean that he's automatically going to have a setback. I just think the unpredictability with these turf toe injuries is very high. And the goal for the Bengals and for AJ Green is to manage it this season. And sometimes you don't know till you push it. So yes, he may play. Am I confident that means that you get the regular AJ Green back? Won't really know till we see it.
Okay. Tread lightly when it comes to AJ Green. Good to know there. We'll discuss this plenty more on Sunday morning on Fantasy Football Now. Will be one of the primary storylines of that show. Tyler Boyd is a player that we said when AJ Green was out, it doesn't really change his role that much. AJ Green expected to play, so we think that Tyler Boyd is going to be like a wide receiver too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of where he is in terms of target share and also productivity when AJ Green is on the field.
Six different times this season, multiple wide receivers have scored double-digit fantasy points against the Browns. So even if AJ Green is active, you could certainly see Boyd get his, and some of Boyd's most productive games this year have come with AJ Green on the field. So even if Green is more of a decoy than not, yeah, I like Tyler Boyd quite a bit in this one. It's worth noting that weeks 2 through 8, this is a guy that was the fourth best wide receiver in fantasy.
The Bengals are 3.5-point favorites in this game. Give me the Browns. Let's go fighting Keith Lipscombs.
Yeah. Brown up. I'm with you. I'm
Brown.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with the Bengals.
Ooh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Not very nice of you. What do you got, Daniel?
I was thinking about taking the Bengals until Stefania took them, and now I'm going to go with the Browns.
That makes a lot of sense.
Alrighty. Wow. Way to go there, Daniel.
If your pigskin pick'em strategy is just to do opposite of Stefania, that's a winning strategy.
It could be.
That is
actually
a winning strategy.
It's actually,
you know what? We're always looking
not wrong.
For, yeah, we're always looking for ways to engage our Twitter audience. Starfania Bell, I know, and I saw your disapproving eyes over our board bet. See if see what would you guys like Field and I to bet on Syracuse Boston College?
I found out that Dinosaur Barbecue does have
delivery
merchandise you can pick up.
Oh,
like sauces and things like that. Sauces and rubs. For your barbecue. So that's a potential item there.
That's there.
Now you got to find the comparable Boston equivalent. Eagles Deli is a popular place near BC. Maybe we could do something, you know, like lobster themed because Boston, we do love our lobster.
Yeah, sure. Lobster versus barbecue rub.
Yeah.
All right. Very interesting.
I don't mean vats of clam chowder and lobster, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Or I mean, Matthew could just fly in lobsters for the entire crew if
Matthew could do that.
A real magnanimous gesture.
It would be very nice.
That would be very sweet of Matthew to do that.
Anyway, but no, see if Twitter has any suggestions.
Okay. Yep. Let's keep things moving here. Luna. Did you guys know that Luna went to Syracuse? I didn't know that.
Nice.
The great director, Jonathan Luna, went to Syracuse as well. Shout out to Luna, also a recent birthday boy. The Giants at the Eagles, this game is one that both teams really need to stay in this NFC East race if they have any hope. For the Giants, I'm thinking you start Saquon Barkley. You also start Odell Beckham Jr. Both of them have been on a tear of late. A little while ago, we were having the conversation about Calvin Ridley, and it's like, yeah, you know, there's this sort of tier of wide receivers that are all kind of the same, right?
Yep.
They could have good weeks. They could also be non-factors. Sterling Shepard, case in point. A couple weeks ago, he catches the late Monday night touchdown over the 49ers. Last week, a little quieter. You know, like, sort of how lucky do you feel? We all have Sterling Shepard ranked in the 30s this week. But Evan Ingram might be one that you actually have to think about a little bit more because there are so few tight ends, and yet, Matthew, we've got him outside our top 10. It's a non-starter in 10-team leagues.
And I don't think it's his fault. He's such a phenomenal athlete, but it's just this offense. It's so broken. And so they don't target him very much. It feels like he, without knowing it, just from watching all these games, I feel like I see Rhett Ellison as much as Evan Ingram out there. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Rhett Ellison's actually playing more snaps than Evan Ingram. Obviously, Ingram more of the passing tight end and Ellison more of the run blocking tight end, but still, like, they're just not targeting him in a bunch. Like, he got bailed out by the big play last week, the 66-yarder or something like that.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, and look, they took one shot. They had a seam route for him against the 49ers that would have been a big play, would have been like a 10-point play. But it's literally like 3 or 4 targets a game. It's just not enough volume there because Barkley and Beckham command so much. So until there's a quarterback change in New York, it's hard to recommend Evan Ingram as anything other than a touchdown-dependent tight end, too.
All right, for the Eagles, you're starting Carson Wentz. You hope for better days. And remember that prior
to last
week,
no one to go but up for Carson Wentz.
But he was playing really well prior to last week in fantasy football purposes at the very least. Zach Ertz also a must-start for the Eagles this week. On the injury front, not a lot to report there. Josh Adams, though, was the most added player overnight on waiver wire.
He's
up like something like 30.5%. He's a top 25 play for us. We all feel like last week was a sign of things to come. Finally, the Eagles have kind of admitted that he is the one back that we can turn to rather than trying to go for three or four backs, Matthew.
Yeah, we've talked about Adams quite a bit, but since week eight, he's averaging 7 yards per carry. That's the most in the NFL. He's a bigger guy. I want to say he's like 6'2", 225, something like that. So he's a bigger guy. So he sort of profiles as a goal line back, especially when you think about who else is on the roster there for Philadelphia. Last 4 weeks, Giants allowing 152 rushing yards per game. That's the fifth most in the NFL. And so with the passing offense struggling a little bit, you could see them maybe trying to establish the run game, set up some play action here. It's worth noting that while Josh Adams was averaging 7 yards per carry, Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement were averaging under 3 yards a carry. So same offense, same offensive line, and just Adams is by far the best running back there. And I think Doug Peterson is realizing that. By the way, Thirsty Kyle throws up on the screen. Adams is 6'2", 225.
Can't teach that.
No.
Alshon Jeffery and Golden Tate, both inside of our top 25 or so for wide receivers. Alshon, you have more confidence in. Tate had a much bigger role in week two with the Eagles than he did in week one. We expect him to kind of grow into that role a little bit more each and every week. The Giants have been fairly stingy against the pass of late, but two players that based off target share probably deserve a spot in our top 25.
Golden Tate made my hate list this week, which means I'm taking the under on his 12.1 projections. He's basically competing with Zach Ertz for those targets in the slot, right? Giants have yet to allow a slot touchdown. They are allowing the eighth fewest catches to the slot, the seventh fewest yards to the slot. That's just an area of the field where they actually defend pretty well for all the struggles New York has had defensively. And so, I mean, I don't know if you saw the story come out this week, but they were talking about, like, they're admitting that, like,
the offensive coordinator, Mike Rowe, said it's been challenging to find ways to fit Golden Tate into the offense. That's unfortunate. It seems like something you would have thought about before you made a trade for him.
Right.
Just throwing that out.
Look, fantasy wise, they're still putting up points, but guys, the offense looks broken to me.
It's a big turn, but it's been, I mean, they have cratered over the past 2 weeks. And
I still feel like Alshon Jeffery has more upside.
Sure.
I mean, at Golden Tate, part of the reason he was so valuable in Detroit was even when it wasn't like super sexy, it was volume.
Yeah.
It was volume, volume, volume. And I don't know that I see a ton of that.
Yeah, I don't know. Daniel, did you catch that? Stefan just saying how Detroit's not sexy?
Isn't super sexy.
It's like the least sexy city in America.
No, I didn't.
They're saying their fan base isn't sexy.
Kenny Galladay, exciting, sexy, flashy, new toy. Golden Tate was just consistent.
I'm watching you, Bill.
Yeah. I think that's smart. I think you would.
Wait a minute.
I just think if Detroit is listening to the show, one pride, and hating Stefania.
Yeah.
She's just throwing lots of shade to you guys. You know me. I never say anything about Detroit.
Giants are 6.5 point underdogs here. I think the Eagles win, but the Giants cover. How about you?
What's the line?
6.5 points.
Try to keep up.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Giants. I don't think the Eagles cover that.
All right. Stefania.
I'm going to take the Eagles.
I am going to take the G-men.
There you go, Daniel. We continue on.
By the way, Thirsty Kyle points out that in 2015, San Francisco was ranked the fifth sexiest city in the United States.
Yeah,
2015.
That's right.
There you go. That's right.
Top five in sexy.
Did Bristol just miss the cut? Where were we in 2015?
In 2015.
San Francisco.
When will San Francisco bring sexy back, though? Because it's been a while. Apparently, it's been a couple of years.
San Francisco go to Tampa Bay to play the Buccaneers. The Bucs, who are starting Jameis Winston, but for the 49ers, the player you are starting is George Kittle. And I think pretty strongly about Matt Breida as well. Stefania, do you have any nerves at all about Matt Breida this week?
I do. Look, he's their go-to back, and he's been nothing short of amazing despite being so banged up this year. But I just feel like they're going to be throwing the ball a lot in this game.
Can.
And, Matt Breida is going to be a short distance, pass catcher, but I think like George Kittle is sorry, Matthew's mumbling.
I'm talking to the control room. That's what you're supposed to do, Stefan. You be a professional hang on. I will explain what's going on.
We just ruined Matt Breida's fantasy outlook discussion because of you.
Whoa.
So first Detroit is not a sexy city, and now it's Matthew's fault that you can't talk about Matt Breida.
I want a ruling on this. So you got a close up of me? Okay, great.
And you like cranberry stuff.
No. So here's what happens. So if we have a button here that says talk to control room, and so when I press it, you guys don't hear me over the air, but like, so if I say like, so then Daniel knows, so I can sit here and
Daniel
talk to
Daniel. Right. Right.
No, but that's what it is. And so as we're planning the show and doing different things, so I did that and I mumbled that very quietly to Daniel about something else coming up in the show. That's what we all do. It's being a broadcast professional. And so I have no idea. Field does it all the time, by the way, which he needs to as host.
Because Field's smooth and he does it and it's like seamless and smooth. It's just part of him being a host. You hardly ever communicate with Daniel. And for you to stop and do it and mumble like
what do you
that.
Mean, stop.
Now you're throwing shade on Matthew and I's friendship. Is that what you're saying? Like we don't text every other night?
You know what this is like? This is like Thanksgiving family holiday.
This is really
what I need to get me through the
family
holiday.
Do you see
holiday.
How mean everyone's being to me? They're really mean. Like it's Thanksgiving. It's the holidays. It's a time of joy and spirit and friendship and family. And yet what I got here is shady Stefania over here and, you know, Meanfield Yates. I mean, they're just, you know, Meanfield hates over here is what's going on.
Bad. Yeah, jump out there by
you. There you go. Right. So find a shade and Field hates. That's what we got going on over here.
So how about Nick Mullins? Talk about him because you talk about streaming options here. The Bucs have allowed 25 passing touchdowns this year. They have one interception this season. Okay. One interception.
Is that bad? That sounds bad.
That sounds really bad to me. I think that Nick Mullins is probably on like the how lucky do you feel bus, right? So if you really are in a pinch, and the thing about Mitch Trubisky is that Trubisky is, we're going to have clarity by Thursday morning. So you're going to have it like, you're not going to have to wait and exhaust a bunch of options that have already played when you're making a decision on him. So if there's any other quarterback that for some reason you are starting or you had concerns about going into the Sunday games, maybe even Marcus Mariota on Monday night, for some reason you're starting him, Mullins is a reasonable fill-in candidate just because the matchup is so darn good. It's so good.
Matchup is great. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this, by the way. So, you know, Kyle Shanahan, I'm sure he'll script like a great, you know, first 20 plays for this one.
Sure.
It is a terrific matchup. He's been up and down, Stefania. Like his debut was fantastic.
Two games.
Right. Which is, I was just about to say, he had a fantastic debut. He was not as good in his second start.
Yeah, I just think it's really small sample size. But when he needed to get things going, he put a night, you know, when they were in that 2-minute offense at the end, he looked pretty sharp. So I like him with a little more time to prepare. We know that he likes throwing to George Kittle, so I think you're going to see that. And I think this is maybe another good game for Marquise Goodwin, who's been a little bit quiet as of late.
Yeah, again, if we like Nick Mullins, by default, we have to kind of like some of these pass catchers. So Goodwin might be the one that is on the radar here. For the Bucs, you are starting Mike Evans. He's awesome. An injured player, though, all of a sudden, Stefania. O.J. Howard went to IR yesterday. I don't say out of nowhere because we knew he was banged up, but I don't know that we thought the scope of it would be a season-ending injury.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things too where you go, okay, it's late in the season and if somebody who has an injury that's not going to be able to make it back within the time we have left, we're going to go ahead and just make sure we put them on IR right now. So hopefully Cameron Brate becomes a more featured target. You know, we've had this issue when we've had two big receiving tight ends for Tampa Bay. You don't know who's going to have the game. It seemed to be one or the other of them. Now you've really only got one choice.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about Cameron Brate because of the tie-in to Jameis Winston in just a moment. But first, Jameis Winston is the subject of our IBM Insight of the Week, as per our friend Kyle Soppy.
Yeah, Jameis Winston with a 25.8% chance to boom this week and a 25.5% chance to bust makes him one of the more riskier plays on the board this week. A boom game would mean over 26 points, while a bust game would mean under 14. What side do you guys fall on?
Wow. So let's start here. First of all, that percentage you gave on both of those outcomes is way larger than normal.
Yes.
Like he is polarizing in the eyes of IBM Watson. Normally it's like he's got a 13% chance to boom and a 11% chance to bust.
So he is the definition of risk reward.
He is risk reward in every sense of it. I'm on the boom side of this one.
I am as well.
We all have him as a top 10 play this week. Yeah. And we were having this conversation before the show is like, if Jameis Winston, the concern for Jameis Winston would be that he gets pulled at halftime, right? Like if Jameis Winston gets pulled at halftime because he implodes, all of a sudden you're out of luck. The problem there is this, is like if you're starting Jameis Winston, like What, no matter what happens.
Right.
Like, whether, you are bound to him right. one way or the other, you know? Right. So, like, yeah. we are doing it. We have to only project of what happens if he plays a full half. So, we're on the boom side of Jameis Winston. It's a good matchup. He's got tons of weapons.
Look, we Tampa Bay must feel like he's the best because they've been like, it's
they
been,
keep going back
they,
to
they keep changing him out,
it's
right?
been a disaster.
Is it Fitzpatrick? Is it Winston? So if they're rolling with Winston, they must feel like he's going to have a good game. So
how lucky do you feel? And we all feel like you should feel lucky for this weekend. Yep. But what does it mean for Cameron Brate, Matthew? Because Brate, when Winston plays or when OJ Howard doesn't play, like he's all they got at tight end.
He really is, by the way. I mean, it's time to make America Brate again. Let's be honest. Okay. So, Cameron Brate, who has a connection with Jameis Winston, certainly did, you know, before they drafted OJ Howard, and Tampa Bay is one of the tight end friendliest teams. They're one of the tight end friendliest teams.
They like tight ends.
They do. I mean, like, so you think about in terms of it, just if you took Tampa Bay's tight end as one position, it would be a top 10. It would be top 10 in the NFL in targets and yards and, you know, completion percentage and red zone looks and scoring. And so with no OJ Howard there, just knowing how that offense runs, knowing how Jameis Winston throws the ball, I think you should expect to see a lot of Cameron Brate, especially in a matchup against the 49ers defense that allows the most red zone drives per game. So, since the beginning of last year, Cameron Brate leads all pass catchers in targets in red zone route from Winston. So when they get in close, in essence, in the red zone, Jameis Winston is looking for Cameron Brate again. Since the beginning of last year, he leads all the pass catchers, you know, on Tampa Bay in targets per red zone route.
Let's pick this game. The Bucs are 3.5-point favorites. Sorry, Stefan, I'm taking the Bucs.
You know what? My well-rested 49ers are going to come in and surprise you. I'm taking the Niners.
Matthew?
This is a tough one because I personally think the 49ers come in here and cover with a good shot to win.
Okay.
The idea of picking with Stefania is not one that I like. But
feel
I'm gonna
free
go,
to go
I'm
pick go, the wrong one.
No, I'm going to go with the 49ers. Okay. I'm going to go with the 49ers, Stefania Shade.
I'm also going to take
she's
the
been so mean
49ers.
To me. You guys have no idea.
Womp.
Secret scroll. Am I wrong on this? She's been so mean to me.
Listen, don't make me come through that glass, okay?
No, I'm asking you a legit question. I'm asking you.
Has she been mean to you?
Has she been mean to me today?
She has been very spicy today. Yeah.
Spicy.
She has.
I've taken a chapter out of Spicy Tomatoes.
Apparently.
See what's happening?
What do you think, Not Cool Keith? You're the nicest person on the staff. You're a good judge of this.
You're going to put me on a spot like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, of course.
He just did
have
it to
Stefania,
me. Have
Stefania and Field been mean to me?
There are always pockets of meanness in life.
Thank you.
And sometimes you have to be able to roll with the punches.
I just see you being that kid going to every single adult until you get the answer that you want. Is that what happened? Because that's what it feels like right now.
100%. 100%. By the way, not just as a kid. Not just as a kid. Listen, when I started here at ESPN and I wanted, like, I was trying to get a fantasy show, trying to get a fantasy segment, I would, you know, hey, can we do a fantasy segment? No? Go to another producer until I got 100%. Never say never. I never give up. Absolutely. Listen, I follow Jimmy V. Don't ever give up. Don't ever, ever give up. So there you go. I appreciate that, Keith. Stefania Bell, pockets of meanness.
Taking a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about the Patriots and Jets.
You in the 06010. Fantasy Focus.
All right, now for the final ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week on this Thanksgiving holiday.
Hey, this is Sage Tebow, daughter of the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week. I love when my mom listens to the Fantasy Focus football podcast because when she wins, we all win. Except my dad, who usually loses to her. Now, back to the show.
I don't want a permanent
read. Yeah.
I want to talk about pockets of meanness. Using your daughter to throw shade at the husband. That is a Stefania type move right there.
Is that a marriage tip right there?
I endorse it.
Yeah.
100%.
Wow. As somebody who's just months away from getting married, is that a good marriage tip right there? Like throw shade at your significant other?
Yeah.
It's good to know.
Absolutely.
Only if you're the wife.
If I can give you one piece of advice, and your upcoming nuptials, to the
more
lovely Chapin.
Of your first marriage or your second marriage?
Chapin dude. Of my current marriage. My, yes, my, yes. I have lots of advice for my first marriage. But this one, this specifically, comes from, the marriage that I'm in now, which is this. If there's anything you can do, it's to keep Chapin away from Stefania. That's if there's one thing that I can just offer.
I was wondering
because otherwise,
landed on,
because yeah. otherwise, Chapin will be coming home late. She'll be staying up, getting drunk, eating cookies in Stefania's and Stefania's apartment. Like you'll be stuck at home,
look,
like going, where is she? Like I'm just saying,
imagine Chapin coming home and Field being like, "Are those crumbs on your sweater?
Right?
Were you out with Stefania?
Totally.
Are you kidding me?
Oh yeah." Yeah, exactly.
No, no, it's not just me. Chapin is going to go out with Beth and
Charlie's Angels are back, baby.
It might be. I feel like this is, Stefania has a master plan to steal Beth from me. Like at first, gain the friendship and the trust of Beth, because my wife truly loves Stefania. She truly does.
She truly love you.
Why do you say
I don't
it?
Know. I don't know. It's on the fence.
You say
because
it like
now,
you have to,
and now
like
Stefania's like driving
loves.
A wedge. So it's, I'm just, you know. I don't know.
All right. So
I don't
Patriots
know what's going
and Jets.
On. She's got a master plan, this one. Princeton, always very brainy.
Last quick shout out Sunday. To Rachel. I just want to say, because it's a short week, she only gets 3 ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week mentions. It's not our fault because we're not here Thursday and Friday, but a huge thank you to Rachel for being this week's ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week.
Well done.
So thank you for that.
And we go to New Jersey for our next game, which is, of course, the Patriots at the Jets. The game is in New Jersey. For the Patriots, you're starting James White, Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon. Sony Michel, I think, is a little bit more of a conversation, but we used to all have him as a top 20 play. We expect him to be further along in his recovery from that knee injury, given the fact that the Patriots have 2 weeks to recover. Do we expect Rob Gronkowski to play on Sunday, though, Stefania?
I think
we're
going to see Rob Gronkowski back in the lineup. You know, I was a little nervous about him when I first did the rankings. I have ranked lower than you guys do. I think I ranked him 10th or 11th. But that was because just what I've seen the last couple of weeks, he really has not looked like himself. And I think his back was ultimately bothering him before it flared up so badly. So now that he's had this extended rest, which I think was a really smart move on the part of the Patriots, because now you look, okay, Thanksgiving, and now they're really rolling into the meat of their season, if you will, heading into the postseason. So, yes, I think that if there are no setbacks across the rest of the week, I do think you see Rob Gronkowski.
That's good news right there. And obviously, if Gronk plays, you're probably playing him, especially because Travis Kelce is on a bye this week. But Brady's interesting here. Like, how much confidence do you have in Tom Brady, Matthew?
The fact that we're even having this conversation should tell you everything. So I don't have full confidence. All that said, I took the over on 17.3 points here. I do think he has a big game here. Remember, since week 8, the Jets are a bottom 12 scoring defense. They've allowed multiple passing touchdowns in every home game this season. This game is in New York.
Yep.
And that includes guys like Ryan Tannehill, Case Keenum, and of course, Matt Barkley,
right,
who carved them up just before the bye. And so Tom Brady, and this is something that Thirsty Kyle pulled. I think this is interesting. Since the beginning of 2015, Tom Brady has entered a game rested 12 times. And by rested, it means either he's
off
had the entire offseason or off of a bye. And this is, you know, this is Super Bowl week. This is playoffs. This is regular season all combined. In those 12 games, he averages over 22 fantasy points per game. So, yeah, in this matchup, 2 weeks to prepare, trying to get Tom right. I have concerns about Tom moving forward throughout the rest of the season, Field, but I will say that I think in this matchup, he's a top 10 play, and I think we get back to seeing
start off on the right
Tom
foot with
Brady.
Tom Brady. Yep. Was that to say again, Daniel?
I just said when we're moving on to the Jets, I mean, is there anything even here to talk about?
No, there really isn't. Sorry, but I did not hear you entirely through my ear. I'm having hearing issues today, apparently, for the Jets. There's really not much to say. I don't think we can say any player merits starting with confidence in this game for the Jets.
The only thing that might be interesting is Elijah Maguire. I think they're down in this game. Elijah Maguire, who's started to come on. So if you need a flex play in a PPR league, I do think Elijah Maguire actually has a shot at something here.
We'll see who starts at quarterback for the Jets. They find a way to play the Patriots more competitive. It seems like every year. So the Jets are 9.5-point dogs. I think the Jets cover.
Really?
Patriots win. Yeah. What do you think, Matthew?
I'm taking the Patriots, and I'm taking them to cover.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think they come out and kill these guys.
Angry Patriots. Tom Brady, no touchdowns in his last game. I think he's going to fix that.
Yeah.
Daniel?
I'm going to take the Patriots as well, but I think there's a little bit of a trap game.
Okay. Interesting.
I do. I mean, just the Jets, you know, they always struggle. It's one of those things.
We'll see. The Seahawks go to Carolina.
I think we're a trap podcast, to be perfectly honest.
Seahawks go to Carolina. Seahawks traveling west to east, never easy to do for the Seahawks who are starting Russell Wilson. Do we feel like Chris Carson, though, is locked in? And same thing goes for Doug Baldwin. Do we feel safer based off of both of them, based off what we saw this past week?
I think off the eye test, you certainly do. We talked about, Chris Carson ran really, really well. It seemed to be not showing any ill effects from the hip/groin injury that he had for the prior couple of weeks that caused him to come out of a game early.
My finger.
Oh, well done. Look at you. Quick to the board. And then Doug Baldwin, we talked about the fact that he had come out and said that he finally wasn't having pain. And to me, it was just a huge difference in how he looked on the field last week. And I think Doug Baldwin's a very smart, really forthright player who told us at the start of the season how he was going to have to manage the knee issue, move from that point forward. And he told us when he finally was feeling like he didn't have pain, it showed up on the field.
I don't know if you noticed, but Field just talked to Daniel.
I did.
You managed to plow through that. Mm-hmm. But you got to call me out.
You know why? Because it was like smooth and it was whispered and it was all while he was still, maintaining. And it wasn't like some loud, awkward mumbling.
Stop it. I was not loud or awkward.
Field is a smooth operator. I got to say that.
Yeah, of course. But was I loud when I used that? I was not loud.
No, I don't know. To be honest, Matthew, I tune you out for like 90% of the show.
He is that kid that wears you down. He's like, no, I'm just going to keep asking.
You're so mean.
I'm fine. I want you to come over for my birthday party just like everybody else in the class, I guess.
So mean. All of you are so mean.
I cannot wait. We got a lot of games to get to before we go off the air. So let's get to the Panthers. You're starting Cam Newton. You're starting Christian McCaffrey. You're starting Greg Olsen. But I think people might be wondering this week, does Devin Funchess deserve to be ahead of DJ Moore in the rankings? We had this conversation before the show, Matthew, and all of us have Funchess ahead, and it's like target share still profiles as the Moore number one wide receiver. Drops have been bad from him recently, but if he scores that touchdown last week, maybe we're not nearly as bothered by Devin Funchess' outlook as we were this past.
Look, yeah, I have them very close. I mean, I literally have the Funchess and Moore.
I think we all do. Like the way we're ranking them, it's like, it could be one, it could be the other, but you tend to tilt a little bit in favor of Funchess.
Well, just I think he's got the better chance of getting into the end zone field, as you sort of alluded to there. You know, that despite last week, and DJ Moore is terrific, and look, and one of the things he excels at is run after the catch. And if you think about a Norv Turner offense, that's something that's always been a hallmark of his offenses, of trying to get guys in space. So DJ Moore is a great player, especially for a Norv offense. But just whatever, Devin Funchess, 6'4", a red zone target. Certainly a bad week last week for Funchess, and his target share continues to go down. But who's most likely to score a touchdown in this game? I think Funchess has slightly better odds based on his size and his red zone usage than DJ Moore. Although I think, to your point, Stefania, it's getting closer and closer every single week between these two.
Panthers are 3.5-point favorites here at home. I'll take Carolina to cover, but I have a weird feeling about this one. How about you, Stefania?
I'll take the Panthers.
Daniel?
I'm taking the Seahawks. I just watched the Panthers get demolished by the Detroit Lions last week. I just don't think they have it anymore.
And Matthew, how about you?
I'm taking the Seahawks as well. I think the Seahawks are on a mission right now.
I think
now.
So too.
One of the closest games that we have in terms of percentages of those who have submitted their picks on Picks Can Pick 'em.
What happened to the whole West Coast going east, starting early? You guys just throwing that out the window? Come on.
We'll Raiders see. Play the Ravens. 10.5-point favorites are the Baltimore Ravens. For the Raiders, we can make this quick because you're not really starting anybody. Jalen Richard, probably the player you feel most comfortable with in that backfield. Doug Martin does have that ankle issue. I think we'll learn more about it today.
Well, then
first practice.
John Gruden dismissed it and said, it's nothing. He's fine.
It's either nothing or it's something here. So again, if you're starting a Raiders running back, we feel most comfortable with Jalen Richard, but Jared Cook is probably the only pass catcher you feel any confidence in. He's a top 10 tight end play for us this week. He's got 15 targets over his past two games. Who knows if Jordy Nelson's going to play on Sunday? The only reason I mentioned Jordy Nelson is that, if you're in a super deep league, someone might make the case for Marcel Aitman after four catches last week and potentially some more work on Sunday. But the Raiders are largely fantasy irrelevant. The Ravens, though, are more interesting. Joe Flacco looks unlikely to play this week in Stefania. Are we that far with his hip injury?
Yeah, I just don't think we're going to see him. They haven't had to issue a report yet. You know the Ravens, they tell us nothing. But I just don't get the sense, especially Lamar Jackson's the one talking to the media. I mean, there's just a feeling that, besides, John Harbaugh did say one thing. He said, it's going to be tough. That was immediately after last week's game,
yep.
Which says to me, now that he's a little bit more confident in Lamar Jackson, just after that, it was okay to let us know that it's going to be tough for Flacco to get back.
Stefania, one last question about Joe Flacco's hip. Does it lie?
No.
Okay.
I know where you're going with that, and I was trying to think of some clever, like, other line from the song that I could use.
I think
but,
the correct answer was just, no, hips don't lie.
Yeah.
I think that was the correct. According to Twitter, by the way, 65% say hips don't lie. That was the result of all.
I know Shakira is a huge fan of the 06-00. Facts.
She totally
Go ahead.
Is.
Google it. It's on there somewhere. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Weirdly, more of a fan of you and I than Stefania. I thought that was odd when Shakira
I heard
slid
she
into
wanted
my
to go
DMs.
Out with Beth and I when she comes down.
Lamar Jackson is a top 15 quarterback play for us on the ESPN.com rankings. The Raiders are allowing a league high 6.6 yards per play, and we know that Lamar Jackson is going to get plenty of run with his legs as well. He's really interesting. He's compelling because of that athletic ability. I don't know how much the offense will change this week for the Ravens, but the low volume passing thing seems to persist. So the question, Matthew, is there any Ravens pass catcher that you can feel confident? I mean, like, we barely have Michael Crabtree and John Brown and Willie Snead ranked. Barely. I mean, Willie Snead is the highest ranked amongst all those players, but do we feel sure that just because he got the most targets last week that he is the one Ravens pass catcher you want to start this week too?
Yeah, I suppose so. I think there's just kind of a higher floor here for Willie Snead, who's had at least 7 targets in 7 straight games. Had a 44% target share. I mean, yep. A 44% target share with Lamar Jackson in his first start in week 11. So I don't feel confident in any of these guys. I think they run all over them. I think it's a lot of Lamar Jackson. I think it's it's Alex Collins and Gus Edwards, but it's, but yes, if I have to start a pass catcher, it's Willie Snead. Crabtree and Brown could easily get into the end zone, but they don't profile as people that are going to get a significant target share. I don't think the Ravens throw a ton in this game.
And you mentioned Gus Edwards, and further proof that we are in lockstep on this podcast, all three of us. We have him ranked at 28 each.
Yeah.
Now, it's possible, by the way, that he could be a top 15 play if he gets the same workload he got last week. I think we're all hedging on the possibility that he is most likely to lead the Ravens in running back snaps and carries. But teams are fickle, right? Okay. Teams do some weird stuff. And just in case they end up divvying up the workload more, we have lowered him a bit in the rankings.
And we have Alex Collins not that far behind him because we just don't know that we can trust Ravens when it comes to
He got
to
the goal
backs.
Line carry last week that ended up to that landed him a touchdown. So just keep an eye on how the Ravens split up these running back carries. The Ravens are 10.5-point favorites in this game. I think the Ravens, with the Raiders traveling west to east, early game, give me the Ravens to cover. Matthew, how about you?
I, too, will take the I'll take the Ravens.
It's against the Ravens.
I was thinking the Ravens as well. Yeah.
Dan, you got the Ravens, Stefania?
Yeah. You know, you.
On the Ravens.
I know. Matthew, you want to learn about why I've got pockets of meanness?
I would love to. Yeah. let me, please, enlighten me, Stefania Shade.
Maybe.
Enlighten me on why you have all these pockets of meanness.
Maybe if we study my ancestry through 23andMe, you'll find out. 23
Do you have a mean gene?
Yeah, well, 23andMe is named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up our DNA.
Do you know what the name of the mean gene is?
What?
Oakland.
23andMe is a personal genetic
Some
service.
Of these jokes are just for me, kids. Some of them are just for me. Some of them just amuse me.
Keith said it, and I had no idea. I just thought it was an old guy thing. Yeah, I don't know what it was.
Keith got it.
If I got it, then it is an old guy thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Keith got it. Keith Field got it.
The kids want to hear about 23andMe. 23andMe is a personal genetic service that helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. As your loved ones get together this Thanksgiving, like us here at the podcast, discover more about the genetic connections you share. Did you inherit your meanness gene from your mom or your dad? And how much is your DNA compared to your brother or sister's? The 23andMe Ancestry Service allows you to see how your DNA breaks out across over 150 regions worldwide, trace parts of your ancestry to a specific group of individuals from over 1,000 years ago, discover how much Neanderthal DNA you inherited, opt in and connect with DNA relatives, and find other 23andMe customers who share your DNA and ancestors. It's easy to do. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks, receive your personalized online reports. Did you know, Matthew, you can discover the origins of your maternal, your mother's mother's mothers, and paternal, your father's 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 ancestors, and how they moved around the world over thousands of years. You can trace parts of your ancestry to a specific group of individuals from over 1,000 years ago. You can discover, Matthew, how much Neanderthal DNA you inherited. You can even learn which traits your Neanderthal DNA is associated with, like height and back hair. See how your Neanderthal composition compares to other 23andMe customers. We know that Fields ancestors had no back hair. Now through Thanksgiving, 23andMe Ancestry Service kits are only $49 per kit when you buy two or more kits. That's 50% off the regular kit price of $99 for this holiday. Order your 23andMe Ancestry Service kit at 23andMe.com/FFF. That's the number 23andMe.com/FFF.
All right, here we go to the speed dating portion of the program. The Steelers go to Denver to play the Broncos. The Steelers you are starting are James Conner, Antonio Brown, and Juju Smith-Schuster. But what do you do about Ben Roethlisberger, Matthew? Because you feel like he is not a quarterback you are comfortable starting. I feel like he is a quarterback that I am comfortable starting. I've got him at 7. You've got him at 14 this week. You're scared off by this Broncos defense?
It's a little bit about that. I mean, you think about the Broncos, who are the fifth blitz happiest team in the NFL. Roethlisberger, 13th in yards per completion, 17th in touchdown percentage versus the blitz this season. Since week 7. Broncos have created pressure 33% of the time. Again, when under pressure this season, Roethlisberger's passer rating more than cut in half. He's thrown twice as many interceptions as touchdowns. Last week, he got bailed out at the very end. He was brutal fantasy-wise up until the last 5 minutes. I agree with the idea that road Ben is no longer a thing. He's been fine on the road.
Yeah.
But I have lower expectation. There's a number of quarterbacks who I think have really good matchups that sort of vault up over him. You heard me talk about Brady. You heard me talk about, obviously Jameis Winston, Andrew Luck. I like Russell. You can go check out my rankings if you want. Lamar Jackson. I have Lamar Jackson over Ben Roethlisberger this week.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be fine, but I think the idea that he's going to have suddenly a blow up game is, not likely.
Yeah.
His projection is 19.3. I took the under.
Yeah. I like Ben Roethlisberger this week. I just think they're a freight train right now offensively. They are rolling with eyes on a top two seed in the AFC. He was remarkable in the fourth quarter last week against the Jaguars. I don't think it's quite as difficult for him this Sunday in Denver with such a great cast of pass catchers.
I say Ben Roethlisberger is not a top 10 fantasy quarterback this week.
I say Ben Roethlisberger is a top 10 fantasy quarterback this week.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
Easy enough. For the Broncos, you are starting two players, Philip Lindsay. Well, you're definitely starting Philip Lindsay, but are we worried at all about Emmanuel Sanders? The past three games, he's averaging just 10 points per game. Has something changed for Emmanuel Sanders that all of a sudden has us feeling like he's not as trustable in this offense, Matthew?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, he's not getting the target share, just doesn't seem to be on the same page. Case Keenum seems to have sort of regressed a little bit. He's got under 60 receiving yards in half his games this year, right? And then you think about the Steelers who, after being kind of a leaky sieve for the first part of the season, have really kind of righted the ship here. They're the top-ranked pass defense over the last 4 weeks, and some of that is opponent-driven, but, give credit where credit is due. The Steelers have played really good defense recently.
Yeah, they have. Here's my reason for confidence that I think we all share for Emmanuel Sanders. He's catching 75% of his targets. He doesn't need 10 targets in a game to be fantasy relevant. He needs 8. He needs, heck, even 7 in a given game for him can be good enough for Emmanuel Sanders. I think he'll comfortably get to that mark. He's averaging 8 targets per game so far this season. Emmanuel Sanders remains a top 20 play for us. Cortland Sutton, we kind of had some high hopes for. We thought maybe this guy will break out, right? He's in the Demaryius Thomas role. It hasn't quite happened yet, and I don't know that this is the week that he goes nuts. We've got him as a top 30 play this week, but the Steelers, to Matthew's point, that's not a defense that all of a sudden you just chuck it around on and feel like it's easy sledding ahead.
Yes.
The Broncos, 3.5-point underdogs in this game. I think the Steelers win and cover. I'm in on the Steelers right now. How about you?
I am as well.
Okay. Stefania?
Yeah. Give me the Steelers.
All right, Daniel.
I'm digging the Steelers as well.
A clean steel curtain sweep. Let's get to the Packers and the Vikings. Sunday Night Football, the game that was, of course, flex. So back-to-back weeks for Minnesota in the primetime slot. For the Packers, you're starting Devontae Adams.
And Aaron Jones, correct?
And Aaron Jones, yep, sorry. You are starting Devontae Adams. You're starting Aaron Jones. But how about Jimmy Graham being injured, Stefania? Like, he says he's going to play, but I just have a hard time imagining a tight end with a broken thumb being super effective.
Yeah, well, I think we all do, and that's why we assumed he was going to be out. We don't know yet, and there's really nothing to add at this point on Wednesday because the whole goal is for the Packers to try these different splints and protective devices on his thumb and for him to see how he does. He has told Mike McCarthy he intends to try to go, but I think there's two questions. One, can he tolerate the pain? I believe that he can because he's that kind of guy. Can he be functional and effective with it? That's a different matter. So we may not get an answer until later in the week.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that one. But still, I feel like I would feel shaky even starting a player that has a broken hand.
Yeah, for fantasy purposes, I think you'd be awfully nervous about his ability to catch the ball, whether he plays or not.
We nervous a lot about Aaron Rodgers in this matchup, Matthew. Rodgers has not been great. He's just been, like, for fantasy, he has not met his expectations. We can talk about it from a real football standpoint, but this Vikings defense, like, some weeks they look great, and some weeks they look like last week where they were just okay. Where do you fall on the Aaron Rodgers value for week 12?
Oh, I have him as my number 10 quarterback. Yeah. So I'm as a starter, but barely. I have Aaron Rodgers at 10. So I should tell you that I am concerned. I'm lowering expectations here. Vikings, the number 2 defense against the pass over the last 4 weeks. Since week 8, Rodgers is just QB 11 on a per game basis. And again, since week 6, these Vikings allow just 10 points per game to opposing quarterbacks. I mean, so it's a, you know, game is in Minnesota. This one makes me a little nervous. Yeah.
You know, hat tip to our buddy Ryan.
I mean, he's
Vasilo.
Aaron Rodgers, but yeah.
How about this? Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees are tied for the league lead with just, or I guess, lowest number of interceptions at 1 apiece. The difference is Drew Brees is completing 76.9% of his passes. Aaron Rodgers is 26th at 61.8, behind the likes of Case Keenum, Brock Osweiler, Dak Prescott. Guys that have played inconsistent football this year are ahead of Aaron Rodgers in a category you expect him to be one of the best in the NFL at. For the Vikings, you're starting Adam Thielen. You are starting Stephon Diggs. They're awesome. Dalvin Cook, despite last week's struggle, still cracked our top 15 for running backs. He got 12 carries last week. And if Dalvin Cook is getting you 15 touches, you're going to take your chances more often and not than not. But have we given up on players like Kyle Rudolph as a starter? And how about Kirk Cousins this week? Are you not in on Kirk Cousins either, Matthew?
Yeah. Kirk Cousins has scored 21 points twice this season.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Last three games, 5 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions. He hasn't been great. Now, look, it's not a matchup that particularly scares you here. The Packers, you know, middle of the pack in terms of their pass defense over the last 4 weeks. And they're 24th against the run. So my expectation is, again, to your point about Dalvin Cook, I think you see a lot of Dalvin Cook and some Latavius Murray. I think Cousins will be fine here, but I don't have him inside my top 10 because I don't think I don't see him having a huge blowout game because I don't think he's going to need to. It's one of the problems when you have a defense as good as Minnesota, is you often don't get into these shootout games, which leads to big fantasy production. The other concern about Kirk Cousins is he's not running, which you're like, wait a minute, what do you mean? He ain't Cam Newton. But honestly, coming into the season, this is somebody that was scoring like 4 or 5 touchdowns with his legs per year. That was something that always was a big part of his fantasy value. And this year, that's just not a part of his game.
3.5-point favorites are the Minnesota Vikings. I got the Vikings to cover this one. Something's afoot with the Packers right now. Just not there this year. Who do you got?
I will take the Vikings as well. I will tell you what's not there. They're not a good football team. They're actually, I believe, I mean, they're probably a bottom 10 team without Aaron Rodgers.
Last year.
I mean, that's the brilliance of Rodgers is what keeps that team afloat. And of course, Aaron Jones, my love Aaron Jones. But
Vikings.
They don't have a ton there.
I am taking the Vikings, and as long as there's this weird impasse between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, I think it's going to continue to be a problem for the Packers.
It's a good point right there, Daniel. Cardinals and Chargers in this game. For the Cardinals, you are starting David Johnson, and I think you're probably still starting Larry Fitzgerald. He's got over 40 receiving yards just twice this season, but he had the 2 touchdowns last week. Yeah. He's a flex play for us.
I mean, he got the 2 touchdowns, but he got it on 4 targets.
On 2 catches,
And 2 touches, 4 targets, and the Chargers are actually really good against the slot. 5th fewest completions, yards, and completion percentage against in the NFL. And so it's not a great matchup. You're banking on the talent of Larry Fitzgerald, and you're hoping for volume because we haven't seen the volume. It's been inconsistent. the kind of looks that he's been getting.
Here's where you're starting for the Chargers. Melvin Gordon and Keenan Allen, two bad men. They have been unbelievable. But how about Phillip Rivers, Stefan? He's got multiple touchdown passes in every game this season.
He does, and he has a very high floor. That's part of the reason I like him. More than 17 points in 8 out of 10 games. So you know you're going to – you know that Phillip Rivers is going to throw the ball. You just sometimes have to take a little bit of the good with the bad because sometimes he's going to throw it to the wrong team. But he is averaging a career high, 9.08 yards per attempt. That's good enough to be – fourth highest in the NFL.
As long as Chandler Jones doesn't live inside of his eardrum on Sunday afternoon, I'm good with that as well. Phillip Rivers has been super consistent this year.
My only concern is just what's the volume, right? I mean, he's to your point about.
Do you think they're going to turn it over to running?
Yeah, I mean, I think Josh Rosen struggles against this now. Joey Bosa led Chargers defense. I think you're going to get good field position. I think it's a big Melvin Gordon game. I just don't see him having to sling, get into some sort of shootout with Josh Rosen here. He has two touchdown passes in pretty much every single game this year, but he hasn't thrown three since week 4. So it's one of those things that I agree with Stefania, there's a very high floor, but I think his upside is limited given the way I think this game plays out.
Chargers are 12.5 point favorites here. That's a big number. I got the Chargers still though to bounce back after a really humiliating loss.
See, sometimes after those big losses, they want to win in a dominant fashion. So I'm going to take Phillip Rivers and the Chargers have a big day.
Matthew?
Go Chargers, go! Go Chargers, Daniel? Go!
Probably got rid of that.
Daniel, who you got?
I'm going to take the Chargers.
All right, there you go. Titans and Texans. This game, of course, on Monday Night Football on ESPN. Over-under is just a few points less than the Chiefs and Rams last week. For the Titans, I don't know if there's anybody that you are saying is a starter, in part because we don't know who's going to play quarterback for them, Stefania Bell.
Right, and because it's Monday night game, no injury report till Thursday. Marcus Mariota with the stinger. We talked about this the other day. I don't know that you're going to get an answer till late.
Yeah.
There you go.
Look, Corey Davis is a volume dependent, hope for a score wide receiver 3.
Yeah.
And I guess to an extent, so is Deion Lewis. But against the Texans defense, I think this is a game you probably want to avoid if you can for fantasy purposes.
I'm with you as well. We just hope that Deion Lewis keeps that steady volume and makes more of it. Last week, he still got the touches. He just did not do enough with those touches in that game. For the Texans, you know who you're starting? DeAndre Hopkins. You love him. Lamar Miller is sort of always in that flex territory, but Deshaun Watson's outside of our top 12 for quarterbacks this week. We're not saying you have to sit Deshaun Watson. A lot of people are going to play him because of the upside there. It's just become a little bit less low volume of an offense, and the touchdowns have not been there in bunches like they were last season when he was seemingly throwing a touchdown at every other passing play. Kiki Cutie is kind of interesting here, though. If you had to play a second wide receiver amongst Texans, do we think for sure that it's Kiki Cutie over Demaryius Thomas, Matthew?
100%.
I was like, I do. Yeah.
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 You want to answer this instead of me?
Demaryius Thomas. Hey, listen.
Oh, I don't care.
I'm just curious on this. Demaryius Thomas, when he was traded from the Broncos to the Texans, had some less than stellar words about the Broncos, right? He kind of called him out, and eventually Vance Joseph, their head coach, was like, we got to just put an end to this, right? He's got one target last game. Does he go back to squeaky wheel routine and see if the squeaky wheel gets the grease again? I would hope so, but I mean, it's hard to pick to forecast him over Kiki Cutie this week.
Kiki Cutie had a 37.5 target share in week 11. Yeah. And again, we talked about this, and if you watch Fantasy Football Now last week, Dan Graziano reporting from the game talked about how when talking with members of the Texans coaching staff, they keep discovering more and more about Kiki Cutie in terms of his speed, in terms of they initially thought they just had kind of a slot receiver, and they're like, whoa, there's a lot more we can do with this guy. There's things that we can sort of try to exploit starting with his speed. And so I think you'll just continue to see his route tree expand and more plays and packages for Kiki Cutie. Yeah, not just in this game, but for the rest of the season, give me Kiki Cutie over Demaryius Thomas.
The Texans are 6.5 point favorites. I think the Titans find a way to cover, but the Texans win. You?
That is a big number, but I'm thinking it's Blaine Gabbert. Give me the Texans.
Daniel?
I am going to take the Texans.
Stefania?
Texans.
All right, 3 in favor of the Texans. Last two games here, but before we get to those, time for a crappy promo.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all-about-me promo.
So as we keep talking about sort of holiday shopping and everything like that, and you guys know I'm talking about fantasylife.com, buy two, get one free. Check that out. Use the promo code Xmas, A-X-M-A-S. I also want to mention Amazon. Look, everyone's on Amazon. You guys are always on Amazon checking it out. Well, if you go to Amazon.com/fantasylife, we got a sale going on there. Buy two or more items at Amazon.com/fantasylife and get 25% off. Here's the code you use. FL thanks. So fantasy life thanks, but FL thanks. That's the promo code at Amazon.com/fantasylife. Get 25% off when you buy two or more items there. And by the way, it's all Prime. So for those of you that are members of Amazon Prime, feels like everyone is, you can get it very, very quickly. So go ahead and check that out. Amazon.com/fantasylife.
Good all stuff right. there. We're going to say a quick goodbye to our friends on the Twitter live stream and wrap up for the podcast version with our final two games. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you that are watching.
Happy Thanksgiving. We will see you Sunday on Fantasy Football Now.
The Dolphins go to Indianapolis to play the red-hot Colts. And for the Dolphins, it's not a mystery, Stefania. Ryan Tannehill's starting this Sunday.
Yeah, he's going to be back. And I'll be really curious to see how he plays, because this is the type of condition with his shoulder that there's just no guarantees. We'll have to see. If he were to take a hit, certainly, that kind of stress that capsule that he had injured before, that could set him back. If you were to fall awkwardly on it, that could set him back. And you could go out and have a fine outing and be, you know, feel really good and be good going forward. So you're not going to know until you see it in action how he looks and how he feels going forward could be a week-to-week assessment.
All right, Matthew, one of the big questions with the Dolphins is what can you get at a Kenyon Drake week-to-week? And I think the answer is you just don't know. Between him and Frank Gore, Gore gets the carries. Drake sometimes gets a touchdown. It's like it's a shot in the dark on both of them.
Has yet to have more than 14 carries in a game this season.
This is Kenyon Drake.
Right. Ranks 25th in yards per carry after first contact this season among 39 running backs. 25th out of 39. Colts defense allows the third fewest yards per carry before first contact. Colts have played good run defense here. Last three games, Frank Gore has out-carried Kenyon Drake 45-23. And so the Colts, who over the last 4 weeks have been a top eight run defense, it is. You are hoping for a touchdown here with Kenyon Drake. I took the under on 11.6 points here. He made the hate list.
For the Colts, you certainly feel good about Andrew Luck and Marlon Mack and T.Y. Hilton, but do we think now that people should be not starting Eric Ebron after week? I'm not trying to be funny, but he had zero targets last week, and there are so few tight end options. We clearly feel as though Jack Doyle is a tight end you want to start, but is Ebron even usable this week for you, Matthew?
I mean, it depends on sort of how desperate you are. I don't think so, because it depends on, like, look, if you're starting him over, you know, you're in a league where, you know, you just lost Jimmy Graham and you need somebody, you need a warm body out there. We've seen, but I think he has your hope. Eric Ebron is basically you need a touchdown.
Right.
And he's as likely to score one as Mo Alley Cox. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, they're Eric Ebron is not playing a lot of snaps at all, not getting a lot of targets, not running a lot of routes. It is Jack Doyle's job. And so, I mean, him scoring three touchdowns on four total touches, one of which was a rushing attempt, was so unbelievably fluky. I'm still not over it, by the way. Cost me a loss in the war room.
I can tell, yeah.
Yeah, I'm still not over it. But anyway, so no, I don't believe Eric Ebron is anything other than a touchdown-dependent dart throw.
Colts are 9.5-point favorites, and they win and cover. They're on a roll right now. How about you? They're on a Thanksgiving roll.
I see what you did there. But I will take the Colts as well to cover this. I'm not a believer in Ryan Tannehill. And, I mean, I believe he exists, but just not that he leads them to victory over the Colts or even a competitive game here. You mentioned Thanksgiving rolls here. Thirsty Kyle, do you have the results of our Twitter poll?
Yeah, we do. As soon as we get done picking the rest of this game, Stefania, who is it that you want?
I want the Colts, please.
I'm going to take the Colts as well.
Four picks for the Colts, and the answer to our Twitter poll is the best holiday Thanksgiving side is stuffing with 81%. Purple stuff gets 10%, and cranberry sauce brings up the rear at 9%.
Just think about that, Stefania. Purple stuff, which people don't even know what that is.
Shout out to Aunt Lois.
Yeah, I mean, actually beat your cranberry sauce.
You know what? Cranberry is very divisive. I will acknowledge that.
Not divisive. They're, like 91% are anti. Unifying. No. Like most people hate cranberry sauce.
Basically picking your stuff. And by the way, it's only stuffing if it's in the bird. So I'm assuming it's in the
bird. Gotta be the real deal. None of the packaged stuff. You just put in the boiling water.
No, because it's dressing, right? If it's not in the bird, stuffing is in the bird.
You know, right. That's how it gets its name. Because you've stuffed it in the bird.
Well, I just wanted to make sure you were actually doing that. Because that's legit.
Why don't you come over to the house and make sure I've stuffed my bird properly?
I gotta say, I want to say one thing really quickly.
Yeah.
The reason why I do not eat stuffing is because the idea of eating something that you've shoved into a turkey's butt, it has no interest in me. Like, I just don't, it doesn't do it for me.
Not the turkey's butt, first of all. Second of all, the turkey's dead.
Where do you put it?
Like, how is eating?
You shove it in the turkey's,
you kind of stuff it amongst in the neck the hole? Guts that have been ripped out already.
So, oh, okay, cool. That sounds so much better. Putting it in the neck hole rather than in the
It's a dead bird anyways.
Hole.
Like, that doesn't sound appetizing.
Like, you're eating the bird.
That sounds delicious. I don't know what you guys
Purple
are talking
stuff
about.
Sounds great, though. All right, last thing here. One more game. Jaguars go to Buffalo to play the Bills. The Bills coming off of a bye. The Jaguars coming off of a game where they collapse against the Steelers. For the Jags, you know you're starting. It's Leonard Fournette. For the Bills, it's pretty much the same thing. There's one player of interest. It's running back LeSean McCoy, but we've got him flex play.
You're only semi-interested.
He was awesome in that last game before the bye, but the Jaguars have been an eraser of opposing RB1s this year.
Josh Allen back this week, we think.
Yeah. But LeSean McCoy, you're playing and you're hoping he finds the end zone. We don't think a monster game is ahead for LeSean McCoy. The Jaguars are 3.5-point favorites on the road. And as crazy as it feels to pick the Jaguars going to Buffalo after that collapse last weekend, I'm going to go with the Jags again. Matthew, who you got?
The Bills getting points at home, given how bad the Jags have been, I'm going to take the Bills.
Okay, Stefania?
I know the Jags are bad at throwing the ball and they're going to have a tough time against Buffalo doing that. But I think they're going to be able to, I think it's going to be Leonard Fournette. I'll take the Jags.
Yeah, I'm taking Leonard Fournette and the Jags.
Like both of the defenses in this game. 100%. Great stuff there. So,
hey, did you see this? So this is pretty good. So Tyler Alquist on Twitter suggested this for our SU Boston College bet. If I win, I get a toast at your wedding.
No, that's not happening.
I get a toast. But if Field wins, I have to sit at the kids' table. I mean, that's a good bet. I don't know if we want to do that, but I will just say that is a good
bet.
I wouldn't want you to do that to the kids, though.
I know.
Yeah, and I also
this is the table we're gonna have.
I don't think you get to like invade the plans of the wedding through a bet that Chapin is
sign up
like,
for my future wife.
Chapin, what's this? There's a toast to Matthew that's happening at my wedding. Yeah.
How about this? No. Rather than Chapin doing the dollar dance, Matthew is the one that dresses up and does the dollar dance.
Now you have me sold.
You know what I'm saying?
As enticing as that is, Daniel, I think I'm going to pass in that.
Yeah,
regard.
I think that makes sense.
We have 5 days. Let's think of something good amongst ourselves, and we'll share it at some point before the game kicks off Saturday at noon. In the meantime, thank you for all that the listeners do as a loyal audience. We could not be more grateful for what you bring to us. We are thankful for our health, our family, our friends, our jobs, those that you listen to us every single day, the opportunity to do something that we love. In the meantime, Matthew, no TV show today, correct?
No TV show, but you can check out the Week 12 Love Hate. It's streaming right now on ESPN Plus, and it's the annual Don't Look Back in Anger column for Love Hate, which is up now on ESPN.com. So be sure to check that out.
He is Matthew Berry, TMR, and all forms of social media. Just Matthew Berry on the Fantasy Life app. She's Stefania B87 on the Instagram. She'll have plenty of pictures from her trip out west. Mm-hmm. And she's Stefania _ESPN on Twitter. I'm at Field Yates. Thank you to all of you. Enjoy your holiday.
Yes. Thank you very
much. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving. We are very grateful and proud and lucky to have you guys in our audience. Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv. At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Berry convert you.
Secret squirrel, Daniel Dunn.
make it happen. Media.